9/11 revealed a new chapter in the human story that is still unfolding. There is much to lament in this chapter, much to grieve, much to repent of, and much to forgive. There is also certainly much to celebrate in the actions of individuals, actions that they took on that day and in the days since, people who demonstrated remarkable selflessness and courage. But after 10 years of war, can we not at least ask the question, has our nation's response to 9/11 confused the pursuit of legitimate security concerns with the pursuit of vengeance? And at what cost has this confusion occurred? In the wake of a series of national tragedies in which Israel finally lost its independence, Israel struggled to make sense of it all by gathering up stories. These stories became the first five books of the Bible. Beginning with the second of these books, the book of Exodus, Egypt stands as Israel's archetypal enemy. In the stories of Exodus, Pharaoh seems to embody all of Israel's later enemies. Exodus recounts atrocities perpetrated against Israel by Pharaoh, recounts efforts to exterminate them as a people, recounts God's deliverance. The stories of Exodus offer caricatures of Israel's enemies as little more than instruments of pure evil. But when Israel finally gathered up these stories into a collection that would help them to go on making sense of it all, they chose not to begin the collection with Exodus, but with Genesis. In Genesis, Egypt is always presented in a favorable light. Pharaoh as a wise and just and compassionate ruler, and the forebears of the people of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are remembered as complex, sometimes courageous, sometimes venal, weak figures who move back and forth between trust in trickery and violence and occasionally trust in God. They often are presented as wronging Pharaoh and the people of Egypt in ways that offend God. By placing Genesis before Exodus, Israel refused to accept the role of innocent victim in history and opted instead for something much more honest. Joseph. This morning's reading from Genesis presents the penultimate scene in the story of Joseph and his brothers. Joseph, the second youngest of 12 brothers, the favorite son of his father, Jacob. Joseph, the dreamer and interpreter of dreams. To show his love, Jacob gave his favorite son a long-sleeved coat, a coat of many colors. His older brothers hated him for his coat, hated him for his dreams. They stripped him of his coat, threw him in a pit, and sold him into slavery. They soaked his coat of many colors in the blood of a goat, and tricked their doting father Jacob with it into believing that Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. After languishing in slavery and prison for many years, Joseph is finally rescued. Rescued by Pharaoh, who recognizes in Joseph just the wise and discerning leader Egypt needs in a moment of national crisis. Joseph is again clothed in a magnificent garment, this time by Pharaoh, and made ruler of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. Years later, Joseph's brothers come to Egypt during a period of severe famine to purchase food. They do not recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognizes them. As the story draws to its dramatic conclusion, Joseph orchestrates matters so as to win his brothers back rather than exacting revenge on them. By story's end, Joseph's brothers finally acknowledge their crime against him and ask, plead for his forgiveness. But it is clear that Joseph has already forgiven them. In fact, his forgiveness is the precondition of their acknowledgement of crime. Had Joseph chosen another path, had he chosen the path of vengeance and used his power to crush and kill his brothers, the opportunity to honestly acknowledge their fault would have forever been closed to them and to him. Had Joseph chosen the path of vengeance, reconciliation would not have been possible. This moment, which concludes the book of Genesis, is remembered by the storytellers of Israel before they launch into the stories of Exodus, before. In a stunning moment in this penultimate scene, as the brothers beg for forgiveness, Joseph responds with a word, "Fear not." Fear not. The angelic greeting that threads its way through Scripture's story, the word of Emmanuel spoken to troubled hearts and consciences, fear not. And then, even though you intended to harm me, God intended it for good. The storytellers of Genesis refuse any simple equation between divine action and human action. Instead, eschewing both the notion of the deity as clockmaker and the deity as one who controls us, they understand that God and God's purposes for life are deeply, deeply, deeply embedded in the human story. So deeply that God, in love, has become one of us. Whatever else forgiveness is, in the Bible, I can tell you that forgiveness is not understood primarily as a set of emotions, nor primarily is it understood as an attitude. Rather, throughout Scripture's long story, forgiveness is always, always, always understood as a form of behavior. Forgiveness is a form of behavior that grows out of a decision not to allow past wrongs done to me to determine my actions toward you in the present or tomorrow. That does not deny the hard work of acknowledgement, but this set of behaviors we call forgiveness in the Bible is the precondition for acknowledgement of wrong, makes it possible by removing the teeth of vengeance from human interaction. In the introduction to this morning's gospel, Peter asks Jesus a question, how many times? 7 times? The number of perfection. That should be enough. But Jesus' response, shaped by Matthew the storyteller, recalls an early story in the book of Genesis. Lamech, grandson of Adam and Eve, sings a song in which he praises the might of his vengeful arm. He has been insulted, and he has killed 77 men in order to avenge his insult. In this interesting blend of story commenting on story, Jesus overturns vengeance forever as a form of response open to us as a new humanity. Sisters and brothers, on this day, I invite you in the complexity of all of this to ask God to fill you again with God's own Spirit, that you and I together may embrace forgiveness as our way of life, and so live as a seed of new humanity in this troubled and violent world of ours. In Christ's name, amen.